Was that you in that camp as well, Greg, suggesting Mike Pike was the worst player in the competition?
Yes, I was. I agreed with BT at the time. I just thought he was absolutely hopeless. But look, I take my head off. He actually, Mike Pike comes under the heading of who would have thought, as you said. What a fantastic achievement. He now probably rises to the third most famous Canadian the world has ever seen, behind,
I reckon,
the burglar of Banff.
The burglar of Banff.
And Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. And now, Mike Pike. Look, in all seriousness, he's been a fantastic revelation in a short time in the game. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's been around that long, and he's 31 years of age now. He's got another year of a contract to run. And his skills have improved out of sight. He's the first picked every week by Sydney. They sort of didn't mind even losing Mumford because they thought Pike's our man and he hasn't
really let them down.
He's rarely missed with injuries. And he is one of the fantastic stories. And whoever got, I don't know, can't remember if it was Kinnear Beetson or not, Kev, but whoever got him down to Sydney, whether he just turned up on his own volition or what,
I think
they deserve an absolute pat on the back.
I think, Greg, that Mike Pike may have sent a video of himself to
that rings a bit of a bell.
I think he was playing international rugby and he scored a try. And, you know, he's such a big man and he was running with the ball. And I got a feeling he was talking to someone about Australian rules football, so he sent a video to the Sydney Swans. Swans fans might be able to clarify that.
Yeah, they'll know.
I think from that they got him down. I think I've heard Paul Roos say that no one gave him a chance. So they were sort of just amusing him a little bit by having him down at the club in the early days, not thinking there was a snowflake's chance in hell that he'd actually, you know, play a game or make an AFL footballer. But it's one of the great stories. So fairy tale stories from your club. You may have some nominations to make as a fairy tale of your club, because I reckon Mike Pike, that's a great effort to play 100 games.
Well, I liked your description this morning when he was almost in shock in his very first game, when the umpire bounced the ball, because he'd never actually trained under match conditions. And, you know, when he was learning the trade, the ball was obviously thrown up by the ruck coach at Sydney at the time. So
Stephen Torbett, I think, was trying to teach him how to do ruck work. So when they actually got him into a game and they said, well, you're actually going to play a game, and the umpire came in and bounced the ball, he just stood there thinking, what's going on?
No, that's amazing. Well, Geelong's in a similar boat. I suppose you've got to say now that Stephen Wells has been one for experimenting and it's been quite successful with a number of players that where AFL is quite foreign to them, and we've seen the best of them so far in young Blissarves, and there's been a couple now, and a new one is going to make his debut this weekend from all sorts of...
Michael Luxford.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a bit of a Cirque du Soleil down there now, the Cats, I reckon. I mean, they just have... They'll be a juggler. They'll probably pick a juggler to come and make his debut before the end of the season.
Is Geelong giving football a bad name, Greg? You've got Blitzabs, the steeplechaser that virtually hadn't played football since
Bruce McAvaney keeps correcting us. He was a 1,500-metre runner that actually just went in the steeplechase to try and qualify. Sorry,
Barmy said he was a steeplechaser.
Yeah, well.
Hadn't played a game of football since he was 12 years of age. They've got young kid Gregson, who was a gymnast.
Yep.
Now they've got Michael Luxford, who hasn't played a game of football until 12 months ago, and they're talking that he'll be playing on the weekend against the Bombers. So the Cats are
all over the shop.
Is it that easy to play AFL football now, Greg?
Well,
is it that easy?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, but you're talking about three probably high-class athletes that have obviously adapted to our game ahead of people that have been kids that have been playing it for a long, long time.
Okay, Mike Pike. So if you've got some fairy tale stories at your club and one of the greatest stories that you think has happened to your club, give us a buzz, because I think Mike Pike is an absolute killer diller. Charlie Dixon, now, is he going to be traded to Brisbane, Greg? Because there was a lot of talk before this drinking episode with Jack Martin. He's out of contract. He's a very good player.
Yep.
He can play, you know, tall. He can play in the ruck. He can play forward. He's aggressive, a very aggressive player. And I reckon he'd be hot property. Do you think this latest episode at the Gold Coast Suns will see other clubs now having a real crack at Charlie Dixon?
Oh, look, I think it's mainly Brisbane, because he actually lives obviously close by, and I think Brisbane are crying out for a key forward. There's going to be I'm not sure it's happened right now, but there's going to be a big offer made to Charlie Dixon. But I don't think that Gold Coast want him to go, despite the indiscretion last week. But I do think on the same hand, that others will probably go. And I wouldn't be surprised if young Bennell is offered up for trade, because he is certainly, I think that...
Harley Bennell.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know that, but I'm just saying there'll certainly be other players besides Dixon, I think, that will be offered for trade at the end of the year. I think that Rodney Eads had a gutful of what's going on up there, and I think that Bennell...
But surely...
I wouldn't be surprised if Bennell was one of them.
But surely, Greg, every time there's a, you know, someone steps out of line or there's an altercation along those lines and breaks some team rules, you can't just keep getting rid of players. You've got to try and rehabilitate them or get them to think along your lines. Because
no, but Harley, I think
Bennell,
we're talking,
Harley Bennell is a star.
Yeah, but he's a repeat offender, Kevin.
Well, I don't know about him being a repeat offender.
Well, we had that trouble when he went home to Mandurah for New Year's Eve a couple of years ago, got arrested by the police. He was also in trouble earlier this year. God knows how many other episodes.
But you wouldn't give up on Harley Bennell, would you? I mean,
well, I don't know if he would or not. Maybe you would.
He had a bit of a drinking episode.
Well,
he was one of those players with
Matura. I mean, I'm not sure if you give up on him, and I would think yes. I would think yes, you would. I don't know. I'm only just reading between the lines.
Every club in the competition would be having a crack at Harley Bennell if that.
Well,
was
certainly
the
two West Australian clubs would be very interested in getting him.
Every
back.
Club would be interested in Harley Bennell.
Yeah. Okay.
Every club.
Well,
and Charlie Dixon the same. So do they have to be careful, Gold Coast, that they don't throw the baby out with the bathwater?
Oh no, they know what they're doing. I mean, I think that they know what's going on. They've got a lot of players to obviously come back from injury next year. And they will get rid of the players that they think are bad eggs. I'm sure of it.
Okay, I want to play a bit of Gary Ablett as well, because Gary Ablett was put up as their spokesperson yesterday.
Well, he's the captain, so he should.
Yes, and also, of course, he's had the criticism from Jonathan Brown suggesting that he's been shirking his responsibility, his responsibilities, and he should be playing. This is what Ablett had to say yesterday at the Gold Coast.
Probably in the past been a little bit of inconsistency with the way we've handled things, and that's part of the reason why we're here today. You know, we're really putting our foot down. Change needs to happen. I think the club's job is probably to educate the boys on what it takes to be a professional footballer, and you know, sometimes sacrifices need to be made. You know, I really want to be out there with my teammates right now, but I think it'd be selfish of me to go out and you know, play with the way my shoulder is at the moment. I want to make sure that when I'm out there, I'm ready to go and I can play my role for the team and have some kind of influence on the game.
Well, I think what he said there made sense. You've got to go out and try and educate the boys, Greg. If you just all of a sudden want to offload players because they step out of line...
They've been getting educated,
you won't
Kevin,
have
for
any
4 years,
left.
Though. That's my point.
They were a very young bunch of players that were up there, Greg. They, a lot of them, obviously, not even 18 years of age when they had them as pre-draft picks. So... I agree with Gary Ablett. I think you try and educate these boys, and if they're stepping out of line, that's the job of Rodney Eads and others up there. Did anyone know about the drinking problem when Bluey McKenna was the coach?
It was a bit difficult, I suppose, because there was a young group in the Australian today. I wrote that a source close to the club during McKenna's reign as senior coach that told me that not once was he ever called in by the board to either discuss or ask questions about a so-called drinking culture up there.
So they didn't think they had a culture problem.
Well, you only have to look at their track record, Kevin, to say that there could have been one. I mean, you had players in trouble in Thailand. You had a number of players.
A lot of footballers get into trouble when they go away on end-of-season
Well,
trips.
I know, but I'm just, you know, we had trouble in America when Campbell Brown knocked out one of his teammates again. Mm. You had trouble, as I said, in Mantra that time. There's been a few indiscretions over the years. I think they might have brushed it under the carpet a little bit, and now Rodney Eads said enough's enough, which we heard Ablett then. By the way, too, I agree with Ablett. I think Jonathan Brown was totally wrong the other night, unless you've got doctor's information to say you're 100% fit. I don't think he should have said that, but he's new to the caper, Brownie, and he's learning, and he's very good, but I think he slipped up there.
Okay, we'll take a break. You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. And Nathan Buckley, as we go to the break, has tweeted regarding his hamstring. All went well, thanks, guys. Fortunately, athleticism is not a coaching prerequisite. Looking forward to Monday and the focus back on the footy field. A lot of SMSs saying that Geelong has also got an Irish recruit called Podrick Lucy, who's developing well in the VFL as a ruckman. So he was picked up by Stephen Wells.
Didn't he come from that TV show?
The Recruit?
Was that it? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think he may have.
I didn't see it, so I don't know much about him. But I don't know his progress. I don't know if he's even ready to play at this level yet.
Let's go to our callers. Ron joins us in Ferntree Gully. G'day, Ron.
Yeah, g'day, Kevin. I reckon Aaron Vandenberg's a pretty good story. Working as, I think, an apprentice fitter and turner at the Mint, gets picked up. And I reckon he's got four or five Brownlow votes as well. He was best on ground against Richmond and probably picked up one against the Bulldogs and or the Gold Coast.
No, he has played well. There's no doubt about that. He's been a surprise packet. I think they picked him up in one of the games up there in Canberra. I think he had something like 56 possessions in a game. Good size, and he's been able to, you know, move into that Melbourne side. And I think you're right, Ron. I think there'd be a couple of games there where he would have polled Brownlow medal votes. So that's a great story. So we take our hat off to Aaron Vandenberg. Mick's in Kings Park. G'day, Mick.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, you, Mick?
Very well, Greg. This one's directed to you, Greg. With this fight that's going on, a fight, one drink they had at Gold Coast, do you think that these boys are sort of treading on thin ice to try and get out of the club?
It's a really
enforcing the issue.
Are they rebelling? Is that what you're saying, or forcing the issue?
What I'm saying. I think they're trying to. I don't think, you know, Rocker would be more of a, like, he'd be more. Not saying that McKenna wasn't thorough, but he'd be more tougher. And
yes,
I don't think these boys are going to be able to handle it.
Look, in Charlie Dixon's case, I think he genuinely. He does suffer from nerves before a game, the night before, and has trouble sleeping. And it's just that he hadn't told the club that every Friday or whenever the night before they play, he sits down. Don't you look at me, smirk, because you've never had a drink in your life. Don't do that. That he has one or two glasses of red wine to settle him down and then enjoys a beautiful sleep. So, I mean, if you take him on face value, I don't think that was a criminal offence. Mm. But all players pledged to not have a drink, and that's what really got up Rocket's nose, and I fully support what they did. But whether it was a direct challenge to Rocket's authority, it's a very interesting question, Mick.
Do the fans think, 9429 1116 0433 98 1116, if someone like Charlie Dixon felt that he wanted a glass of red wine with his meal at night before he went to bed, and that, you know, makes him feel relaxed and calms him down.
Mm-hmm.
Would that hurt the way that he plays? Would he play any worse, or would he play any better if he didn't have that glass of red wine?
I'd like
to ask the fans that.
I believe it was a glass and a half.
I mean, I can understand
of red wine, which is the little ones you get in hotel rooms, right?
Yes.
Now, I know you don't.
But so I want to ask those.
That's why you got a memory like a damn
elephant. I want to ask those who do drink, Greg, that if they had a glass of wine, I mean, how much damage is that going to do to them in their preparation? Do we go too far with all the drinking stuff? Now, obviously, we don't want people out in public places getting drunk and fighting and brawling with people and all that sort of stuff. But if you're at home having a. And you know what, Greg? I reckon there'd be a lot of footballers at home before they play having a meal, and they might have a glass of wine.
Yeah, I agree.
Charlie Dixon put his hand up and said, I do that on a regular basis.
I totally agree with you. What really killed poor old Charlie was the fact that he didn't get a touch in the first half. All his eight possessions came in the second half.
What do you reckon? He sobered up during the game?
No, I'm just saying the statistics don't point to him. And then on the other hand, Martin pulled his hammy in the first two minutes of the game. So
you reckon that a glass of red
wine
pulled his hammy?
No, but I'm just giving you facts, that's all. No, I don't reckon it would have affected him.
Does anyone believe?
One iota.
Does anyone believe? So just, I know there's rules, Greg, and they've got those rules, but sometimes do we go overboard with rules?
Oh, no, look, as Rocket said, it wasn't about the alcohol ban.
What was it about then?
It was about players taking notice of how to prepare and sticking to rules. It was about diet, about sleeping, about training. It was about everything.
But he's saying it helps him sleep. I have a nice glass of red wine. I feel nice and relaxed, and I go to sleep.
You're missing the point.
No, I'm asking the question.
Don't talk to me. Ask the listeners.
Greg.
Ask Trout.
Okay. Trout, ever had a glass of red wine before you've gone to bed?
Hello, KB, Greg. Well, depends. How big's the glass? 1.5 litres or?
No, don't be silly, boys. Okay. Come on.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. Obviously, that they've got the rules and that, but I think the rules are too hard on the players. I think they've got to. We don't own them 24/7. But anyhow,
it was only for 3 weeks, though. God, I mean,
yeah, I know, but
3 weeks.
The players made a pledge not to drink for 3 weeks until after the bye, or just before the bye.
So what after the bye you go?
Well, no, you don't go hammer and tong after that, Kevin. It was just you're being silly now. Sorry, Trout.
I'm just throwing it up, Greg.
Yeah, sure.
Greg, you know all about football, don't you? I'm talking.
Well, a bit.
Greg, can I ask you a question? A couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you back in the last couple of weeks? Richmond versus Collingwood. Who'd you pick?
Collingwood.
Richmond versus Port. Who'd you pick?
Port.
Richmond versus Essendon. Who'd you pick?
Essendon. And you know who I'll be picking this week?
Frio.
You idiot.
Oh, I can't believe it, mate. I thought you knew about football.
Well, I thought Kevin knew something about football too, but I think
the Tigers last week.
Yeah, but that was only one out of three, and you tip them every week, so.
That was just reverse psychology get the Tigers up and going. Okay. Trout, thanks for that.
I must admit my tipping's hadn't been the best, Trout, this year either.
Ian's in Black Rock, wants to talk about the Kangaroos and team selection. G'day, Ian.
Good morning, boys.
Look, g'day, mate.
When you sit down tonight, Greg and Kevin, to pick our team, could you mention that Tarrant, Ferrito, Hansen and Thompson cannot be on the back line together? What do you think?
Reason being, Ian?
Well, they're all tall players. They're all poor below their knees. They're all poor kicks. And they badly need McMahon and or Mallett, who can kick the ball 50 or 60 metres straight up the ground.
Mallett, has he been injured, Ian?
He's played the last two or three games, Kevin.
Right, yeah, in the reserves, yeah. Obviously, he's had a setback there trying to get him back into the side. I would think, because he's a good player, he can actually kick goals running off the half-back flank. In fact, I saw some highlights of North Melbourne recently.
That was his forte.
And Mallett was very, very good.
I'm not sure Ferrito's in your best 22, to be honest. Tarrant, unfortunately, has been going okay. Dropped a simple mark last week, which was really costly at a pivotal time in the game. Look, defence is a bit of a worry at times at North. So with Darren Crocker there this weekend, we'll be interesting to see what they do at selection tonight.
Okay, and thanks for that. We'll take a break. Sports Central is coming up and we'll come back with more of your calls, 9429 1116, and Greg's match committee as well. So you can do exactly what Ian has done. You can have a look at your side. What changes do you want to see in your side this week? You can be the chairman of selectors. And, of course, if you ever want to take up any conversation with Greg, all you have to do is go to the Spread Eagle Hotel. It's in the heartland of Tigerland, of course, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. It's on the corner of Coppin Street. And look what the Spread Eagle's got in store on the eve of Queen's birthday holiday. They've got great food on Sunday. Got the famous trivia from 3 p.m. and then the live acoustic music from 8 p.m. So don't miss it. That's real Richmond hospitality, Greg. Give them a buzz, 9428 6895. 25 minutes to 10, and Greg Venom Denham has joined us, always brought to you by the Spirit Eagle Hotel, and we're taking your calls. And Anthony is in Donvale. G'day, Anthony.
G'day, Kev.
G'day.
Good, mate. You?
Good. I was just wondering with the Steve Motlop thing that's just come up now about him possibly, or his manager floating him around possibly to move clubs in the year.
To Tigers.
To the Tigers, yeah. Whether there was a little bit of a cover-up in relation to the drinking episode, whenever that was. I mean, it was early in the season. But at the time, Geelong seemed to roll with it and say, oh, look, Steve's accepted the punishment and he's accepted he did the wrong thing. But now it seems it's come out. Steve was obviously not happy about it and his name's been floated, possibly going to another club. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, he's out of contract, obviously, at the end of the year. I think that Geelong aren't in any hurry. I think they'd probably prefer to sign him up. But if he wants more money and Dangerfield's on the loose, bye-bye, Stevie Motlop.
Okay, Greg.
Bye-bye, Stevie Motlop.
You're not saying that because you don't know something. You believe that if they can offload Stevie Motlop, they'll do it.
If they have to.
If they have to. They're not going to fight tooth and nail.
Well, wouldn't you think
Stevie
that?
Motlop. Well, I think he's a very,
I would. If
I think
you
he's
can
a
get
very
Dangerfield,
important player to Geelong.
Well, I think
Geelong fans would want Dangerfield and Motlop, surely.
Well, maybe what if they can't? I'm just saying. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
Ask the Geelong fans. 9429 1116 04.
Depends how much he wants. I'm not sure what he wants, you know, for his future contract. I'm not sure if it's too much money or not. But it seems strange that he's still out of contract with Tommy Hawkins, right, even to this day. I find that strange.
Are they desperate to keep Stevie Motlop?
Nah. I reckon not desperate. I reckon they'd like to.
I talked to Geelong fans. They believe that Motlop is nearly the most important player at Geelong.
Well, he is a very
apart from Selwood, the most important player at Geelong in terms of, you know, carrying that ball, having that space, having that speed through the midfield.
Yep. No, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Good question by Anthony. I'm not sure, but I know who I'd be getting if we came to a clash. Dangerfield.
Yes, but I'm certain Geelong fans say.
No, but I'm saying
if we get Dangerfield, we don't want to keep losing our other good players as well. We want to add Dangerfield.
That would be the ideal scenario. I'm not sure if they can reach that.
Dan's in Maidstone. G'day, Dan.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good, mate.
Yeah, just want to apologise to the guy that answered. I actually said, g'day, Dale. And it was a bloke. So,
okay.
Look, just a couple of things. I think that if he's committed, Dixon Blake's committed to the team, he shouldn't be drinking. I don't think a glass of wine before a day isn't meant to be good for your health.
I live on that motto.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's good for your heart, don't they, Greg?
Well, I think it's good for lots of things, Kev.
If he's committed to the team, I think that he should, stand by that commitment. Yep. Another thing too, guys, I'm just wondering if you can get onto the phone to James Hurd and see if he can, get McKernan into the team. I think that one game he played, he showed he's more than capable, not just to get tap outs, but to go forward.
Well, does McKernan come in this week? I mean, they've got to replace Watson and Fletcher. I probably don't think that there's a spot for him at the moment.
What about Giles? They got from the Giants there, Dan, because Giles is a pretty handy ruckman. He kicks goals when he goes forward as well. Is he a better bet than Bell Chambers at the moment?
I think so. I think that you've got to do more than just win the tap outs. I think you've got to be able to push forward and contest and take marks and all that sort of stuff and try and have a presence on the scoreboard because, frankly, I think Bell Chambers isn't doing that right now.
Okay, team selection, McKernan and Giles. Hopefully they'll get a look in tonight in the eyes of James Hurd. Thanks, Dan. Billy's in Oakley. G'day, Bill.
G'day, KB and Greg.
Hey, Billy.
I just want to give a big kick to Luke Beveridge. And, by the way, Greg, I must be a bad tipper too because I haven't tipped Richmond except for the first game, and that was against the Bulldogs. I think Luke Beveridge, people don't realise some don't realise what he's doing down there. He, like, you take Ace Cordy, I think he virtually said, well, here you go. We're going to give you a few games and see what you can do. And guys like, I think they're all on board with it. And you've got young Fletcher Roberts who's getting plenty of game time now. I just think it's all a plus what Luke's doing. I think maybe even Ace Cordy, they might say at the end of the year, sorry, mate, but you're not what we want. But they're giving him a go. And I think all the whole team seems to have got on board. What do you think, guys?
It's all you can ask for, isn't it?
Well,
really?
You owe the Bulldogs an apology because you said they had no idea what they were doing down there.
I wish you'd stop this. I didn't know. There's no way
you did, Greg.
No, I didn't, Kevin. I was critical of the Bulldogs last year during that period in October when they were hopeless. But I agree with
Billy.
Well,
they weren't hopeless because it worked out well.
Luke Beveridge, another time, Kevin. I think Luke Beveridge has done a fantastic job. He obviously backed Cordy in for a while. And look what it did last week. Minson came back hungry. And really was a huge contributor in that game last week.
Played forward a bit too.
Fantastic.
Ruffhead had a bit of a go in the ruck.
Look, it's had the desired effect. I think that he's stuck with a few blokes that probably on the borderline of selection in the last couple of years. Fletcher Roberts is maturing by the minute.
Liam Picken has become a star for the Dogs.
Yeah, and I think they've got a few extra goal kickers that they didn't think that they had before too. So I think a few blokes have jumped out of the woodwork lately.
Danhouse would be one of the most improved players in the competition.
Oh, look, I think I don't know if he's playing any better than he did two years ago.
I think he was a good
player. Yeah, probably. But they've got some guys that are playing really good footy, and it's a tribute to the Western Bulldogs because they are now contributing in this competition, and it's fantastic.
Okay. Greg's match committee, 9-4-2, 9-11-16. Who do you think should come into your side this week? What should be the changes? Joan joins us in Hawthorn. G'day, Joan.
Hello, Kevin.
G'day, Joan.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Long time no hear.
Yeah, well. I think Melbourne should give Nathan Jones a rest. I believe he is carrying an injury.
Okay. You watch him. I didn't watch that game last week too closely in Alice Springs. What? Tell us.
He had quite a few possessions in the first quarter, but he fell away. And I think he is carrying an injury.
Okay. Bring back Tyson, would you? If he's right, I think he's right.
Yeah, I would if he's right. Yeah.
What about your man, Jamar?
I think he might have had his day.
Okay. Jones on the ball there.
Okay,
nice to hear you laugh, love too.
Well, if you're not getting a game, Greg, obviously, things don't look good.
No, I think that they were okay. I didn't see much of that game last week, but Spencer and Fitzpatrick had been okay the previous week. I thought they were good the previous week. So, yeah, I mean, careers do come to an end. I'm not saying Jamar's career's over, but it's obviously not looking that flash.
Out of the break, we'll come back to Greg Denham's match committee, 9429-1116. Greg, just as we go to the break, if Gold Coast were playing in their preliminary final over in Perth and they defeated the Dockers to go into the grand final.
Or West Coast, yeah.
Or West Coast.
Yeah.
And the bill comes through from the minibar, and it shows that in Charlie Dixon's room and Jack Martin's room that two small bottles of red wine were consumed.
Yeah.
Do they get dropped for the grand final the next week?
Kevin, I think when the CFO gets the bill on the Tuesday and saw that, there would be so many little pieces of paper screwed up so quickly into the trash bin that you wouldn't know what happened. I don't think we'd hear... I don't think it would ever come to light. There you go. And obviously you know that clubs make a stance when it suits.
We'll take a break.
Yeah, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and that you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday's selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429-1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Yes, be the match committee chairman. I got the Blues-Crows game on Saturday, broadcasting that game, Greg. And you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Matty Cruiser come back into the Carlton
side. I think...
Try and give a little bit of hope to all those Carlton fans, a bit of hope for Matty Cruiser as well. He's always under the pump, always under pressure. But, you know, it'd be good to see him back playing senior football and giving Carlton an opportunity to have a look at Cruiser to see whether or not he should be the ruckman that they actually go forward with, because in the past, a lot of Carlton fans have told me that Cruiser is just a ruckman. That's what he is.
I agree.
He's like a big, giant ruck rover. Yep. He's not as tall as some of the other ruckmen, but he plays his best games when he's always on the ball, always moving around the ground, a bit like Will Minson when he's been playing for the Bulldogs, does most of the ruck work around the ground, and he just keeps on keeping on.
Well, he had he's played three matches in the VFL. He had a week off 2 weeks ago. Got, I think, 37 tap-outs last week, 17 touches.
Well, he's got to come in, surely.
I would have thought he probably will. Whether they decide to give him one more real good hit-out, I'm not sure. But I think he's on the cusp. What I can't believe is, have a cop this for some absolute superstars playing in your VFL that are ready to come back. And I suggest if Hawthorn want to rest any players this week because they've got St Kilda on Sunday, Schoenmakers, Jonathan Simpkin, premiership player, Brendan Whitecross, John O'Rourke, Jed Anderson, all played pretty well in the VFL last week. And they weren't the only ones. But, gee, there's some talent in the VFL there from just goes to show the great depth of the Hawks.
Let's go to Matthew, who joins us in Melton, wants to talk about the Bombers team selection. G'day, Matty.
How are you, fellas?
Good, mate.
I like to see Bell Chambers out for McKernan in.
Okay.
Now, others have just been telling us off the SMS machine here, Matty, that McKernan is a rookie and he's been put back on the rookie list. Now, they're saying it's because Windlick is back and therefore he's been elevated back onto the senior list, and McKernan, a rookie, has gone back. So if that's the case, he'd be unavailable. But can Giles play, Greg? Is Giles a rookie, or has he just been put on their
no,
list?
No, I think he's on their list, isn't he? I'm pretty sure he's on their list. I haven't been quite up to date with his form in the VFL. I don't think he's had an injury.
No,
so
he's not a rookie.
No,
he's not a rookie. I've just
eligible.
Looked him up.
Yep, eligible.
So McKernan is a rookie, and we've been told by the Essendon fans he's back on the rookie list. So you might be able to get Giles, but not McKernan for Bell Chambers. Frank is in Thomastown. G'day, Frank.
G'day, KB. G'day, Greg.
G'day, mate.
Listen, look, I heard you speaking about Dangerfield Motlop before, and you might think I'm crazy, but when you look at their form, and I look at the form of AFL players quite closely, Dangerfield's a wonderful footballer and has all the talent in the world. But I find that he does get beaten every now and then, and he probably should be able to get more of the ball than he actually does. Like, well, I know last week he had a 38-possession game, but I reckon they're very few and far between. Whereas Stephen Motlop hardly ever gets beaten. He's virtually Geelong's first or second best player every week. I actually reckon he's probably of more value to Geelong than what Dangerfield potentially could be. Okay. I agree, both of them in the side would be ideal, but I don't know whether replacing Dangerfield with Motlop will add a lot of value, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, that's interesting, but my point mainly
I'd like
was...
to canvass that with other Geelong fans as well, because, as I've said before, along with Frank, that when I talk to Geelong fans and people who barrack for the Cats, they say that Motlop, when he's fit and he's playing well, that he is so important to the Cats. Yeah. He's so important with his pace through that midfield.
My point mainly was, I agree with that, my point was I'm not sure how much his management is asking to continue his career there. Now, if it's exorbitant, bye-bye.
Gordon's in Mornington, wants to talk about Motlop v Dangerfield. G'day, Gordon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I've been a Cats supporter since 1955, seen all the grand finals since then, some good ones and bad ones. Stevie Motlop, an exciting player, fantastic guy to watch play footy, but there's no defensive side of him. Once the ball's out of his hands, it's out of our forward line. And when you've got Tommy Hawkins and Mitch Clark, I've just had a hip operation. I reckon I could run faster than those two guys. And when you've got Stevie Motlop just letting them run out of defence, we can't afford that. There's just loose men everywhere. So that's the only reason why I would say Dangerfield in lieu of him. But if Motlop could improve his defensive skills, I'd take him all day, every day.
Mm. Well, you get some support again. Motlop seems to polarise the Geelong fans. This one's come through from Glennie, who's in Geelong. Says, get rid of Motlop. He doesn't work hard enough.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, supporters know their players better than, you know, you or I, because they actually watch every moment of every game. So that is interesting. I think Motlop's a star, but stars come at a price, and I don't know what price is put on his head for future games.
Okay, a lot of North Melbourne fans are suggesting they're waiting to see their side tonight because they believe that they don't make any hard decisions on dropping some of the bigger name players, that the lesser lights always seem to.
Well, I think Ralphie wrote a story during the week,
didn't he?
About they seem to tolerate moderate performances down there. So, Crockpot. He's in the chair for the next couple of weeks.
So does he have the say on the side, or is Brad Scott...
I would have thought Brad Scott would still be on the blower, wouldn't he? I would have
so
thought
does
so.
That mean the AFL is going to recognise Brad Scott as coaching over the next 4 weeks?
Or are
they going to give those games to Darren Crocker? Because, you know, did they have a press conference to say Darren Crocker was going to be the coach?
I'm not going there. I know where you're heading. I'm not going there.
Well, it's just that
Darren Crocker.
Just that historic guy by the AFL and Mick Malthouse.
Darren Crocker.
Here's another example. Four games now, they reckon Brad Scott is not going to be coaching, and the AFL will not recognise Brad Scott as the coach in their records of coaching North Melbourne. Yet you're telling me that from his sick bed and his hospital bed, he'll be telling them who's in the side and who's not in the side.
He'll have a big say, I reckon.
Well,
unless he's out
he's
cold.
He's not going to be recognised as the coach, Greg.
I don't care, but he's still
John
the most...
John McHale's recognised as coaching.
Don't go there. He's still the most powerful person... At Arden Street.
What a stuff up by the AFL that was. Mark is in Keilor Park. G'day, Mark.
G'day. I just reckon for the Bombers that Chapman and Cooney on their last legs, and they're lucky that Fletcher and Watson are injured, because they're not performing at all, even though the Cooney's been injured, I think. And
how do you think Cooney's season's gone, Mark? It'd take off the 3 or 4 weeks that he was out with the hamster, but how do you think his season's gone in general?
It hasn't been a pass, Mark.
It's... Yeah, I probably tend to agree with you there, I'd say. I think he needs to do a hell of a lot more, Cooney.
So not a pass mark for Cooney. So if you're back for the Bombers, do you give him a pass mark? Certainly Mark doesn't. 9429 1116. Don't forget Greg down at the Spread Eagle Hotel. It's in the heart of Tigerland. And on the Queen's birthday holiday, they've got all the great food. All Sunday, of course, leading into the big game. They've got the famous trivia from 3 p.m. and got the live acoustic from 8 p.m. as well. So don't miss it, because that's what we call real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 9428 689. Greg Venom Denimer's joined us, and also coming up, Brett Phillips, with all of the action coming out of the French last night. Get something off your chest. Always your opportunity to fire up. We've got a bunch of great prizes to give away today. Frank Panisi from the Storm. Joel Selwood joins us today, the captain of the Cats, and Johnny Ralph, the Buzz, will join us from 11 with his famous three stings, taking your calls as well. Off the SMS, Greg, I'm sure you're allowed to play one nominated rookie. The Pies have done with Jack Frost, so I think McKernan can play as a nominated rookie, says Ian in Q.
Look, I think if there's not provision now, I think you can only do that in the second half of the year, I think.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's
maybe
right.
The second half of the year. James in Werribee says, Cat supporter here. Motlop turns the ball over too much, has no defensive side. Adam says from Geelong, I don't want to get Dangerfield at the expense of losing our main playmaker in Motlop. My mail is that he is happy at the club. not happy about the club suspension. It embarrassed him, but he's happy to be still at the Cats. Greg, also off the SMS, want to know about a couple of weeks ago, Todd Goldstein. They want to know why his hit on Ballantyne wasn't classed as intentional because it was off the ball.
Yeah, look, interesting, because I asked the same question too, because I thought that when they changed this rule after Campbell Brown copped Callum Ward off the ball in about 2011, they changed it the following season. I thought that all incidents of striking off the ball behind play would be, were classed as intentional. But when I looked at the record, Kevin, at the actual law, it says that the term is usually conclusive that the strike was intentional. So there's a get out anyway, because if he...
So
if
why wasn't it conclusive?
I don't know, Kevin. You've got to ask the match review panel, but it obviously wasn't. But if he did go for intentional that night in the game in Perth, he would have got two matches pleaded down to one. So he got fined and still eligible to win the Brownlow medal.
Greg, you're in touch with what takes place over at Freo. What's happened with Anthony Morabito?
Oh, poor bugger, Kevin. Got bad bow bruising. He's had three knee recos, as we know. Look, it may well be the end for him, but apparently Ross Lyon said yesterday he's putting on a brave front, unlikely to play this year. They've had a bit of a bad run there, Freo, because they lost young Jason Pitt a couple of years ago with a heart condition. So, a bit unlucky for those two young boys.
Greg, we'll catch you tomorrow.
Cheers, pal.
Coming up, Brett Phillips.